You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Well, we're back together again. It's good to hear your voice, Laura.
Great to hear yours. Are you in the international headquarters?
I am in the international headquarters. Our listeners should all come to the international headquarters in Durham and see what this place looks like.
State-of-the-art institution.
Yes, we're joking in that my office is in the basement of our home in Durham. And
so when we were growing up...
Yeah, I love my office, but it doesn't... When you think international headquarters, you're not particularly thinking this office.
Well, and it was like Dad's ultimate dad joke. Like, the international headquarters, it never got old. Well, good. I'm glad to hear. I can picture exactly where you're sitting.
Yes.
Okay, so, Dad, why don't you kick us off by just kind of... This is the second part of a two-part series. Why don't you introduce our topic and briefly overview what we discussed last week?
Yeah, well, the title is What God is Doing in You Every Day. And we were talking in the last session about, you know, it's so important to understand what is He doing. Mm-hmm. And I found that especially true in mentoring. A lot of times in the mentoring relationships that I'm in, again, a lot of times the people... The guys I mentor, they are always just focusing on what they're doing. And it's really important that they're doing stuff. But I've always noticed that as I'm able to kind of help them kind of quiet down a little bit off of what they're doing, mm-hmm. and for me to be able to share with them what I see God doing in their life, mm-hmm. it just changes the whole conversation.
Totally.
And one of the things it does is it seems to then even more motivate them to take action, but for the right reasons.
Uh-huh.
Meaning it's more God's in the lead, I'm partnering with God, rather than this is all up to me and I've got to pull it off. And if I get in a real bind, maybe I can talk God into helping me, which mm-hmm. is kind of the way that we... tend to go. So yeah. this notion of what God's doing in you every day, we were talking about one thing that He has said He's doing, that He's promised He's doing, that even He says, this is my will to do, is to sanctify us. And
yeah.
we talked in the last episode about, you can kind of understand that from three angles. One is that He's eradicating sin in our lives, that He is setting us more wholly apart for Him and for His purposes, mm-hmm. and that He is making us like His Son, like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are kind of three angles or three ways to look at it. We also talked last week about the ideas of how does change happen in us, and mm-hmm. we were referencing a book that we're going to have in our show notes under the suggested resources by David Powlison. And he talks about that God changes us, that truth changes us, that wise people change us, mm. that hard circumstances change us, and then being a part of all those, then we change, and in a sense, we change us. So there definitely is an action part for us to take in this. It's largely being around things like God, truth, word, recognizing mm-hmm. His work in hard circumstances. And then we touched just a little bit at the very end about that John Newton, who is one of my heroes of the faith, wrote fairly extensively about the idea of a progression of grace or progression of sanctification in our lives. So I think that kind of summarizes where we got to by the end of episode one.
Awesome. That was a great recap, because that was a lot that we covered. And yeah, that was a really good recap. Okay.
Oh, good.
So we're going to get back to John Newton in just a second, because there's another metaphor that we're going to talk about. But I had a question, and this kind of gets back to, you said there are three things that God is doing through sanctification, and one of those is making us more like Jesus. That's what you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, and Dad, like, kind of like you're saying that you do with mentoring, like, the guys that you meet with, I mean, really, you are an instrument like that in my life, too, of just, like, encouraging me to look to God instead of, like, what I, like, not being as focused solely on, like, how I'm going to make everything happen, but just trusting, like, only God can do, you know, only God can make me more like Christ. So, but one thing that I've been increasingly aware of in my own life this past year is just a couple of, like, deep roots or, like, patterns of sin just that have, like, been there for decades. And so, like, one of those is, like, work-based righteousness or perfectionism. And, you know, like, God brought me to see that I tend towards perfectionism, and that that's not believing God, because I'm not believing that He's my only hope. And so I really want to change, but man, like, change is so slow because those roots are so deep, and it's kind of feels like 2 steps forward, 1.5 steps back, you know? And so one thing I wanted to ask you about, and because this kind of ties in, we talked about a metaphor of, like, yeah, the oak tree with the deep roots, and God is deepening the roots even when that's not visible from the outside, using all different kinds of methods. But, you know, Newton said that the only way to break the chains of those deeply ingrained habitual sins is with a growing affection for Christ. And so I wanted to have you unpackage that a little bit. Like, do you agree with that? And if so, how have you seen that to be true?
Yeah, with a growing affection for Christ. That is, I think it is completely true. But I think that for some of us, it takes us a long time in life for that to really begin to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
I think we tend to live our lives so focused on ourselves and so stuck on ourselves.
Yeah.
That we, in a sense, can't see past the end of our nose. And I think the thing of deeper affections for Christ, that comes from being able to lay aside our anxiety about our performance and the depth of the roots of the sin in us.
Yeah.
And to really fellowship with Him, to read His Word, to be in prayer with Him.
Yeah.
To come to believe in the love and the commitment that He has for us. And that's how I think those affections are fueled. So I think it's, you know, I think that whenever I want to just focus on the depth of the roots of the remaining sin in my life.
Yeah.
If I do that, I'll go nowhere good. And so what I have to do is I have to, like, in my mind, just lay that aside and just go to Jesus, and not just go to Jesus with, would you relieve me of these roots of sin, but more just go to Jesus and remember who He is. Remember what He has done. Remember what He says. Remember who His Father is. Remember who the Spirit is. And just to lay aside the thing that's perplexing me and just focus on Him for a bit, and then begin to think about the thing that's perplexing me in the light of who He is. And I think that that's more of a God-centered focus, but I think it also kind of fuels your love as you think about His decades of faithfulness to you, even when you have been slow and stubborn and foolish and sinful and awkward as a Christian, as I am so much of the time.
Man, that's so good. So basically what you're saying is instead of focusing on, like, either the sin or anything about me or whatever, like, looking to God, focusing on who He is, And also, I mean, when it says growing affection, also, like, it must be, like, the relationship or the love or just, like, thankfulness for his faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And well, you so can think that, yeah, go ahead.
Well, you can think about it this way. You could say, okay, I am completely perplexed about the remaining sin in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I realize what I want to do is to gain deeper affections for Christ.
Yeah.
So the way I'm going to do about that is just sit here and think longer and longer and more obsessive and more obsessive about my sin. And
it's like you know me or something.
What,
yeah.
That I don't know what that'll do other than kind of dig us into a dark, hellish hole.
Totally.
What it won't do is foster affections for Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and so somehow we have to lay aside that thing.
Yeah.
And just focus on him and not focus on him in terms of him and how he's going to relieve us of that thing.
Hmm.
But just focus on him. Like, who is he? And as we begin to remember who he is and his love for us, his commitment to us, his faithfulness to us,
yeah,
all those things, then we begin that wellspring of love for him begins to well up in us. And then I think we can bring that thing, like our sin or whatever it is, and actually know what to do with it, know how to believe him with it, know how to obey him. And what we long for isn't that I'll finally be relieved of this.
Hmm.
What we long for is that he will be more fully honored and glorified in my life by me being relieved of this, or by him giving me grace if he chooses not to fully relieve me of it.
Yeah.
Because I think the affections for Christ, what they ultimately are aimed towards is not me feeling better in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
The affections for Christ are that he would be exalted,
mm-hmm,
and that he would be honored and glorified.
Man, that's a really good thought. And it kind of reminds me of like when Paul talks about, you know, whether or not God took away the thorn, which God like didn't, that his aim and his goal was himself to be focused on Christ and to point like others to Christ. And his focus wasn't really on, am I growing or, you know, like those. Yeah, that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now let's move on to Newton's second metaphor, which describes the process of progressive sanctification. So Dad, and you kind of did touch on this in the last episode, but what is progressive sanctification? And can you remind us about Newton's metaphor for the three phases?
Yeah, well, progressive sanctification, again, it's a little bit redundant to say progressive and sanctification because sanctification is a process. But I think what Newton was meaning is that God's grace is affecting different things along the way of our growth and becoming more like Christ. And so he takes from Mark 4, 26 to 29, the idea of the grain growing from first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear, kind of a three-stage progression of our sanctification. Or in 1 John 2, 12 to 14, where he's talking about, I'm writing to you little children, I'm writing to you young men, I'm writing to you fathers. Mm-hmm. Again, kind of that three-part progression. And so what Newton said was that we can understand the young believer, the brand new believer, as being someone who fully has come to Christ, but who is still pretty much focused on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they love God. They love what becoming a Christian has done for them. They love being a part of the body of Christ. But mainly what they're thinking about is themselves and their own desires, their own happiness, what they want in life. And they're really excited because it seems like now their life is going to go even better than it ever has because now they have Jesus. And this is like a precious time in the life of a Christian because it is all so new and so glorious, and yet it really is kind of a time of we don't know what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know how in those early seasons, even when we're feeling such deep love for God, for what he did for us, that we tend to still be pretty much focused just on our desires and on ourselves.
Huh.
So Newton says that for the very young Christian, that kind of the key word is desire, and mm-hmm. that's what they're focused on. It's interesting, Pastor Tim Keller, who he says that he thinks that most Christians never really grow from that stage, that
yeah.
sadly, that's where most Christians stay their entire lives. But anyhow, the first stage is the young believer, the new believer, and the focus is desire. Then God's kind of second stage that Newton speaks of is a stage where, and then it's not going so well, and we begin to just get in some of the hard seasons of life. And mm-hmm. whereas the kind of the code word or key word for the first stage was desire, mm-hmm. the key word for this second stage is conflict.
Uh-huh.
And it seems that we're just going through endless conflict, either within ourselves, with those around us, conflict, you know, from brokenness in the world or in our own affliction or just hard stuff we're having to move through.
Mm-hmm.
And Newton says that what God's affecting there, interestingly, is he's beginning to lift our eyes apart from just ourselves to where we're focusing on ourselves. But sometimes in this time of conflict, it's just so hard that it forces us to begin to look to him
mm-hmm.
and to really be more God-focused
yeah.
than only focused on ourselves. So the first stage is the young believer, kind of the key word is desire, pretty much focused on themselves. Second stage is the maturing believer, the young man, say in the 1 John 2 passage. The key word is conflict, and they're beginning to learn to not just look to themselves, but also are looking to God. And then the third stage of the, you know, the very mature believer in Christ is this stage of what Newton calls contemplation. So it was desire, then it was conflict, now it's contemplation, where one of the things they've learned through all the hard things that they've gone through in life is they've learned about God.
Hmm.
And their focus now has shifted from just themselves or kind of themselves and God to a lot more times of just contemplating God. And especially contemplating his faithfulness, because they see that in that early stage as a brand new Christian, how faithful God was to bring them to faith and to begin to early nourish them in their faith, but then also how faithful God was to bring them into seasons of conflict and not just abandon them there, but to grow them and to mature them in those seasons of conflict, especially in terms of looking to him.
Uh-huh.
And now in these later years of their lives, there are times of just wonderful, sweet contemplation over the faithfulness of God, to where their eyes are more focused on the Lord and on his goodness. And I think that's a really wonderful way of understanding it. But I think it's especially, again, back to mentoring and mentoring like young professionals to maybe
yeah.
mid-career professionals. I think a lot of times we get into life in our 20s, maybe early 30s, and maybe we've been a Christian for maybe 4 or 5 years or 6 or 8 years, and we still think, you know, life should just be kind of going the way I think it should.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into our 30s, and then we get into our 40s, and it's just hard stuff.
Hmm.
And a lot of times it completely catches us off guard. It's like, mm-hmm. what's gone wrong that it seems like I'm just in survival mode every mm-hmm. day?
Huh.
And yet what's going on is God's taking us through years and sometimes decades of just one thing after the next, in which he is faithfully affecting his work to get our eyes off of ourselves, to get us focused in on him, and to be able to see his faithfulness in all of life. I think that's so important. We started this series on what God is doing in you every day with the idea of, if you don't understand your context, and if you don't understand what God's doing in your context, then you're not going to understand in some ways much of anything. And I think in understanding this kind of three-stage process that that Newton and other Christian writers have written on through the years, it helps us to not be surprised through the seasons of conflict, but to realize that God is as fully in them as any other stage, and we will come to a place of contemplation where we'll have so much good to reflect on that God has done in our lives. Does that all make sense, Laura?
I mean, I think so, yeah. And it, like, let me kind of recap what I think you're saying. And this kind of reminds me of, like, it was a while ago, but we did an episode on For God's Glory, and just the idea that, like, God's glory is his ultimate goal, and that that's right because of who he is. But anyways, it sounds like what you're saying is, like, God's ultimate goal for, like, our lives and our relationship with him is that we would just, like, see more and more of how glorious he is, how faithful he is, and that we would be more focused on him and less on ourselves. And yet, like, we're weak people, or at least I'll speak for myself, you know. And, like, it really, like, I think God knows it requires pain and, like, stripping away of other things for us to see, oh, the only thing I really can trust ultimately is God. I mean, like, God gives a lot of other really good gifts too, but, like, that he's the ultimate hope. And so that it's, like, through decades of, like, having disappointments in life and anything else that we put our hope in, that that is, like, one of the big processes God uses to cause us to trust him more and, like, have eyes that are finally, like, more open to see just, like, how faithful he is and to be more in awe of him.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Very much so. And a way to maybe illustrate a bit of this is, I was teaching a class recently at our church, and there's a dear, just wonderfully seasoned older Christian woman. She's 93 years old, who's in the class, named Liz. And so one of the things in 1 Thessalonians that we were looking at was how Paul sent Timothy to find out the condition of the faith of the Thessalonians, to find out how their faith was doing. And so I posed the question to the class, so how do you find out how someone's faith is doing? And so Liz immediately said, you get them to tell you about the hard things that they've gone through. And I thought, that is amazingly insightful. I think what Liz was getting at was, it's as we go through those hard things that so much of our faith in God is formed. So much of our belief in him and his faithfulness is formed. And I think that that's part of what Newton is saying here, is that we have to get out of just desires and how we think life ought to go. Get into the conflict so that God can form those things, transform those things in us to make us more like Jesus. And that's a wonderful, glorious picture. You know, I say to young professionals, in your 30s, you must learn endurance because you're going to need it to get through your 40s. Like, you're in your 30s.
Thought for someone in their 30s.
And you think, gosh, this is tough. And I'm like, yeah, you got to learn endurance. But really, the 30s is generally preparation for your 40s. And usually the 40s are way more intense than your 30s. And God's using all of that to affect his sanctification in us and calling us to partner with him in that.
Yeah. Wow, that's good, Dad. Well, and I can't believe this, but we're almost out of time.
Yes.
I guess this is a big topic. But one other thing that I wanted to ask you about, you know, with the metaphor that Newton gave, and by the way, I'm not sure we've mentioned in this episode, but in the show notes, we will be listing these resources that Dad's talking about. So make sure to check those out. But anyways, Newton, in the book that we've talked about in chapter 7, he discusses a metaphor of like an oak tree with roots. And so we talked about this more in the first episode, but just the idea that God is deepening our roots, even at times when it's not visible that we're growing or what God's doing in our lives, but that's an ongoing process. And so it's just a slow process that we oftentimes can't see. The thing I wanted to ask you about is, I understand that, and I can see ways that that has happened in my life. I also think there are, like, other times where, because of either, like, disobedience in my life or, like, lack of faith, where, I mean, honestly, I'm just not growing that much. So I guess, is this, like, I mean, you said earlier that we can trust that God is always at work growing us. Are there times that we're not growing much, though? Or what is your thought about that?
I don't know that in this life we can measure much and less growth. I mean, there have been plenty of times in my life where I felt like I was growing not at all. And then I look back and see I really was. And then there are other times when I feel like I've grown immensely, and then just one little thing happens, and I'm completely over in the corner in a fetal position, you know, just collapsed. I think the thing that we can know is certainly there are times where it feels that we're growing more or less, and where probably we are growing more or less. I think the exciting thing is that he's always at work. And even if we feel like, gosh, for the last, you know, 2 months, I just feel like I've been stuck. And then now I begin to see that I'm not as stuck.
Yeah.
Well, what that shows me is God's at work. And I don't know how to explain whether I was stuck or not.
Yeah.
But now I'm not. And the way I understand that is God has brought me out of what I was feeling stuck over. And so the great thing about it is we look back and sometimes we think, gosh, I was just kind of checked out there for a while and now I'm growing and all that. Probably that's accurate. Again, I think we'll fully understand all of that as God explains it to us in heaven.
Yeah.
But the thing we can always know is every day that we breathe air on this earth as a believer, he is endlessly, relentlessly at work to bring us to will his will and to do his will and to become like his son.
Yeah.
He is unstoppable. Again, the verse in 1 Thessalonians where it says, "This is the will of God for you, your sanctification." And he's constantly accomplishing that.
Mm-hmm. And that's good. Well, so what it sounds like you're saying, and this is kind of probably my big takeaway from this episode, but again, even in this, to not be so focused on, well, have I been growing? And like, well, why wasn't I growing or whatever? But just like to be really more aware of who God is and what he's doing and not be laser focused on my growth chart. Is that true?
Yeah, because I think it is true. We do have to be attendant to do those means of grace that God's given us. But I think humans measuring their own growth is always kind of a slippery slope. And really, we tend to see it best looking backwards. And we tend to understand it best as other Christians whose judgment we trust help us to see what they see God doing in us.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we scratched the surface of that one. We're out of time.
Well.
So, Dad, do you want to finish us up with your final thoughts?
Yeah, just a couple of things. One, we will, as we mentioned, have show notes for you. And then show notes this time, they're just going to be probably four or five recommended resources if you want to read more about what sanctification is and what God's doing in you every day. You can check out those resources. But just want to remind you again, I think I ended with this last time, but one of the things we found in Leadership Edge that's so important to keep us moving and growing in our growth in Christ is to have a biblically based, God-centered vision for your life. And at Leadership Edge, the vision that we use is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. Mm. And that's the vision that we hope will become a part of your life, that every day, by God's grace, you'll step forward as God's man or woman in your spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. And I just want to send you out with the blessing that God's Word says that He who began a good work in you, even in your worst days, even in the days that it seems like you don't even hardly know if you're a Christian or not,
yeah, totally.
He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to the to completion in Christ.
Well, thanks, Dad.
Oh, thank you, Laura. It's good to be with you.
Okay. And listeners, thanks for joining us. We'll be back in a couple weeks with a new episode.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.